Welcome to the Drip Drop Hour with your host, Robert Littell, where no topic is off limits and the power of positivity reigns supreme.
Don't you dare be sour! Clap for the new day and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is. It's a sad day, and it's a happy day. What do you want to hear first? You're going to be the first to know both things. People like to hear bad news first, right? Isn't that how it goes? You'd rather hear the bad news, and then if it's good news afterwards, that kind of makes you feel better about the bad news. I always thought that was kind of dumb because you still have to deal with the bad news. But I digress. The bad news is this will be the last episode of the Drip Drop Hour. We will be ending our run with episode 77. It's a sad day. When I started the Drip Drop Hour back in December of 2015, we had just rebranded, relaunched the site, totally new site design, totally new focus. And one of the cornerstones of that was this podcast. It was going to give me an opportunity to speak to you guys directly, not pull any punches, tell you how I really feel about things, and just have a conversation with you. And over the last year and a half, we've had those conversations, and they've been great conversations. And everyone that has ever listened, downloaded, subscribed, shouted me out, retweeted, put on your Instagram, your Facebook, went to the site, I really appreciate it. Because this gave me an outlet that I didn't have before. It gave me an opportunity to, not to go all Allen Iverson on you, to practice. Because when you run an online media site, so much of it is written. And there's not a lot of verbal. And, you know, when you're trying to be more than just a quote-unquote blogger, you have to work on your talking. The way that you look at topics, the way that you ask questions when you do interviews. And the last year and a half, I think I've gotten better at that. And a big reason for that is because you guys listen to the podcast. And we talk about any and everything. So that's the bad news. But you want to hear the good news? And honestly, and yeah, I'm still getting text messages while I'm doing the podcast. So that obviously hasn't changed. But you want to hear the good news. In this case, the good news actually will make the bad news seem a little better. Because of you guys, not because of me, because of you guys, starting next week, and you're the first people to hear about this. So, you know, keep it on the low-low with Casey and JoJo. Starting next week, I will be having a live Monday through Friday radio show on the Fantasy Sports Network at noon Eastern, 11 Central, 10 Mountain, 9 Pacific. I always have to make sure I put that P in Pacific because when I was a kid, I used to say specific when I was trying to say Pacific. So just something that's always in the back of my head. So we're going live. Now, granted, I understand most of you have jobs. You don't have an hour of the day to just stop and listen to me. Maybe you do. I appreciate it if you would. But in case that you can't, that's all right. Because this podcast is now going to be available on a daily basis. So you even get more of me. Instead of getting an hour a week, you're getting five now. And if you already subscribed, no problem. You're still going to get the podcast every day now on your phones, on your tablets, wherever you listen to your iTunes or whatever. And it's going to be on all the other stuff too. So if you have an Android or whatever, you'll be able to find me every day. Changing the name of the show is going to be BSO Live with Robert Letal, because it is indeed live. It's about BSO and our meet. You'll be able to find this radio show fairly easily. You can listen to it live on BSO. I'll be shooting out links on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can go to the actual Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's also going to be streamed on a lot of different mainstream sites like the New York Daily News. It's going to be played over at, what is it called, terrestrial radio. That's like, you know, what you do the knob. Like, do people still got the knobs in their car, or do we all just hit buttons now? Or do we just like use our voice recognition and say, hey, change to that channel? Whatever the case, it's going to be on some terrestrial radio stations. It's a big deal for me. You know, it's not like, you know, we're not just jumping into to CBS radio or anything like that, but it's a start. It's a start not just to hear me daily, but also to hear you guys daily. Why? Because I'll be taking guests. I'll be taking callers. Keep it PG. I will be taking text messages, reading them on air. It's going to be very interactive. I'm going to work on a lot of different things. First thing, I got to figure out how it all works. I'm going to be doing it from the BSO studios here in Long Beach. So that's the good news. So instead of getting me once a week, and lately once every couple of weeks, you're going to get me every single day. We're going to start off with a box of or a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. What's up, Lala? And then we're going to go from there. So I need your support so they don't fire me. So make sure you listen. Make sure you download. You can download it. Make sure you subscribe. I need as much positivity as I can, because you never know. It might blow up and turn into something bigger. That's always the goal. You got to try something to maybe get something bigger. And that's always the end game. Is never be afraid to try something. When they came to me, they're like, you want to do live? I'm like, sure. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Me live for an hour? They probably have no idea what they're getting into. So that's the good news. But we have one more drip drop hour. So we got to make it count. So we're going to talk about some things, reminisce over some old times. Even though I don't remember half the things that I've said. So we may not do too much reminiscing. But we will get to some interesting stuff starting now. Mayweather and McGregor. Interesting stuff. Very interesting. I have to give it to Conor McGregor. I really do. I have to give it to him. In the sense that he actually has people thinking that he can win this fight. You know, I'm a man of logic. That's been a theme over all of the episodes, right? I'm a man of logic. Logic dictates that the greatest boxer of our generation, even at 40 years old, is not going to have a problem with the guy that's never boxed in his life. I understand that McGregor is a very good UFC fighter, but he wouldn't be considered the greatest UFC fighter of all time. Just be considered a really, really good UFC fighter, a good MMA fighter, who's a Hall of Fame promoter and self-marketer. That's what he is. He could put his record and accomplishments up against a lot of MMA guys. They're very, very good. Not taking anything away from him. But He's not the best of his generation. There are people in his sport that have beat him. So he's getting people to believe that while he's not even in a sport where he's dominating in a sense that he's undefeated, that he can't be beat, he can't be touched, he has people believing he can go over to a totally different sport, fight the best of the generation, and actually have a chance to win. That's some next level, Trump level manipulations. That's the only level I can see it in. I mean, Trump, he duped the whole country just enough to become the president. He has absolutely no idea what he's doing. Absolutely none. Every other day, it's some sort of scandal with him. We'll be lucky if we can make it through this 4 years without somebody blowing us up. Biggest con of all time. If anything, that's what he'll be known for. Won't be known for being the president. He'll be known for pulling the biggest con job of all time. But McGregor's right up there. Excuse me. You know we don't stop. McGregor's right up there. Got people really believing this. And he's doing another Trumpish thing. He's using racism. He's using the great white hype style promoting to rile people up. And I say this all the time. You don't necessarily yourself have to be a racist person to rile up a bunch of racists. That's what I always used to try to explain to like black people like Sage Steele or Charles Barkley. Like, I think Sage Steele has, you know, identity issues, right? Like, I think she holds a grudge against, you know, black people because she got picked on or something. Like, I don't necessarily think she's racist or hates black people. I think she got some mental issues from her youth. And she never, you know, got over those. But what people like Sage Steele don't realize is when you verbalize your issues in a sense where you're looking at black people in a negative way, you may just be speaking about yourself, but all the racists are like, see, I told you, it's black people's fault. So when Conor McGregor comes out and calls, you know, Floyd Mayweather a monkey, says he wants to, you know, pantomime having sex with black women on stage. Says he got a big penis because he's half black. He may think it's all jokes. Ha ha. Funny, funny. But to the racists in Ireland and in America, they latch onto it. He's a monkey. Oh, he said, you know, all black people got big dicks and they woman want to have sex with me. Sexualizing black women. He's smart. He's not dumb. He knows what he's doing. On the flip side, you got Mayweather, who has an interesting perspective in my mind. I have covered Floyd all the way back to the Pretty Boy Floyd days. I don't think he wanted to be this villain character. I think he even said it once. He wanted to be loved like Oscar De La Hoya. But that didn't generate the money. So he had to become a villain. And he's done some suspect things in his past. I mean, obviously he went to jail for domestic violence. He said some things and done some things that are not all great. I would say probably for the last four years, it's been pretty mellow. No real controversy, you know, not saying anything crazy. But now he's with McGregor, who's young and like a younger Mayweather. It's the same blueprint. And it's getting, you know, I wouldn't say it's getting under his skin. I just say that it's forcing him to pull out a side of him that is probably not the side that he's at 40 years old. It's just something that he's doing because it's building the fight. And that's why you have these train wrecks of, and I try, this is the analogy I use. Like, the press conferences were all car wrecks. And they got progressively worse, right? But when you're driving on the highway, on the street, what do you stop and watch? A fender bender or, you know, a 12-car pileup? What is going to turn your head more? It's not the fender bender. You might look and keep on rolling. But that 12-car pileup where the fire is coming out of the vehicles, you're looking hard. Even if you say that you're not, we know you are. So that's what we have. We have a train wreck, car wreck, 12-car pileup, and people are eating it all up. Racists are getting all riled up. People that hate Mayweather for various reasons are getting all riled up. On the flip side of that, you got people that necessarily don't like Mayweather but don't like the way McGregor is talking, so they want to see his ass get kicked. And that's the whole thing. That's promotion. It's not right. I don't like it. I don't like to see people called monkeys. I don't like people acting like, you know, they're having sex with black women on stage. I don't think that's funny. Calling somebody a faggot is not funny. But this is where we're at to sell the fight. They've decided to get in the trash to sell the fight. It's going to work. And the ironic thing of it all, and I tell you this, and I promise you this, on the last episode of Drip Drop Hour, and I'm going to bring it back up when it happens, is that when the fight is over, I guarantee you, I 100% guarantee you that McGregor and Mayweather are going to hug and they're going to party sometime either that night or very soon in the future, because they have conned and scammed everybody. Now, it's not a con or a scam if you go into it knowing what's going to happen. So if you know that you're paying your $100, your $500, dollars for a seat, your whatever, $10,000 ringside, whatever the face value is. If you know that going into it, and you know, like, hey, it's likely that this is not going to be a competitive fight, but I'm here for the ratchetness and, you know, to have a party and, you know, to see Mayweather whoop his ass or whatever it is. McGregor give it a good shot, a good go of it. And afterwards, you understand that, that's fine. You didn't get conned, you didn't get scammed. You made a decision, an adult decision. Now, if you're one of those people that I've told you this from the time that I was the first one to say that it was going to get signed, I broke that story. If you're that type of person that gets on social media and complains about the fight after the fact, you have no one to blame but yourself. It's as bad as you doing you getting the Nigerian email and they say, give me your credit card number or your account number, and they'll put $18 million in your bank account and you do it. I don't think those people should be prosecuted, because you have to be the dumbest person on the planet to actually do that. So if you put your money out there and you know what's going to happen and you still complain, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Now, me personally, I'm a professional. I cover. That's people. Well, why don't you? No. I'm not boycotting anything. It's my job to go cover stuff. I find these things interesting. I don't have I don't have anything to gain or lose from this. My job to go cover sports, tell you, or entertainment, tell you about them, give my opinion, write some stories, do some videos, and go have some drinks. It's part of being the boss. So I'm all for it. Gives me something to talk about. Gives me something to write about. That's the way I make money. If there's no stories, there's no interesting things going on, I don't make any money. So I'm all for it. Be as ratchet as you possibly can from now to August the 26th. Now, I'm also going to, if I feel like there's some racist stuff or sexist stuff or homophobic stuff or they cross the line or anything that I feel a need to speak on, I'm going to speak on it. You know why? Because that's my job. Doesn't mean I won't be there August 26th, ringside, tweeting away, saying I told you so. Let's talk about the big baller brand, Triple B's. You know what I find interesting about this? and the Big Baller Brand and LeVar Ball and all of this stuff. First off, I don't agree with everything that LeVar Ball says. I don't agree with every strategic move that Big Baller Brand makes. But what I really have noticed lately is there seemed to be some joy out of people hoping that the Big Baller Brand fails. We saw that with Elena Deldana. Wanted Lonzo's shoes to explode on the court. Then sprained her ankle a couple of days later, because karma is a you-know-what. But you see that a lot in black businesses. Because, see, what people don't understand is we're black, so we don't have to do things the way that makes white people comfortable. I hear white people say, well, LeVar shouldn't do this, or he shouldn't talk, or he shouldn't do this, or he's doing this to his kids, and blah, 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 right? Well, nobody tells white people what they should do or how they should do it. White people can go do crack and create an app like 2 days later, and they're hailed as geniuses. Black people are always being told what to do to make white people comfortable. That's never cool with me. So you can disagree with some of the things LeVar is saying, some of the things that LeVar is doing. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, just because he's black, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. I get that. What I don't like is that when a black businessman is trying to do something, and there are people that are actively rooting against that, hoping for failure. Why? Because he told the girl from FS1 to stay in her lane after she talked about his family? It's not a reason to want black business to fail. Not when everyone on FS1 basically offends everybody all the time. That just seems a little odd. Does he say some things that I think are over the line? Absolutely. I didn't like when he talked about the white players at UCLA. Some of the things he said about Kyrie, you know, and his family, I thought was too much. But to me, those are singular issues that you can call out. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have did that. No, that doesn't mean I want his business and his kids to fail. We're in a society, and we've been in a society for a while, that seems to praise failure and critiques success. If you look at a lot of your favorite social media stars, yeah, granted, some of them have moved on to successes, but most of them are failures at life. So all they have is the internet to troll. And these people gather large followings. Just think about how we react to things. And I'm not oblivious to this. Like I said, I try to keep it real with you guys. I hate that phrase, but I really do. Like, I understand it's good for me when bad things happen. Or when people get out of control. Not necessarily good for me when great things happen to people. Just not how the business is set up. The reason that all of these newspapers and political sites are doing well right now is because of Donald Trump. Because the story and the scandals is what's driving their product. Somebody was like, I forget what the story was. It may have been one of the many police brutality stories. It may have been about Kaepernick. Could have been about something totally different. But it was definitely a pro-black story and calling out racism. And someone said to me that I was using racism for clicks. And my response to that is, tragedy or tragic happenings is what honestly pays my bills. When Rob Kardashian goes crazy on Instagram or on Twitter, that drives far more traffic than me saying, hey, this cop is crooked and he's going in this guy's truck without, you know, trying to plant drugs or guns or whatever. Me banging the table about Kaepernick being blackballed is not really helping me in any way. Does it get some traffic? Yes. Does it get as much traffic as me putting Lala's sex scene on the site? No. If I replace the Kaepernick post, the police brutality post, the racism post, if I replace those posts with Kylie Jenner, Lala photos, and blooper reels or Twitter stories, would I do better? Absolutely. But the reason that I do that is because we have to have some balance. You have to have some balance in the force. Can't give you Rob Kardashian and just live off the fat of the land and not within in good conscience not talk about Colin Kaepernick. To me, Big Baller Brand took a risk. In business, you take risk. When white people take risk in business, they're called innovators and entrepreneurs. When black people take risk, you should have signed with the man. Should have signed with Nike. Should have signed with Adidas. What are you doing? You left money on the table. It's not fair. It's not equality. I don't know what the end game is going to be for Lonzo, LiAngelo, LaMelo, LeVar. I don't know. My job is to be impartial. I obviously don't want anyone to fail, white, black, or otherwise. In my ideal world, everybody becomes stars. Everyone's making money. Everybody's happy. Just have to report it. And let's just remember, and I've talked about this before. No one, LeVar is not grabbing a mic and putting it in his face. Lonzo's not, Lonzo's not the one talking about what shoes he's wearing. These are questions that are being asked to them. They're putting LeVar on TV, in magazines, on the front page of ESPN. When Lonzo plays, they broke the summer league attendance record. Not by a little, by like 4,000 or 5,000 people. So this is not, it's so funny, you know, LeVar should shut up. Well, there's a lot of people putting mics in his face asking him questions. So what do you want him to do? And a lot of people that are saying shut up, your network, your site, your TV station, your radio station are doing 10, 15, 20 minute segments on what shoes Lonzo's wearing, what LeVar has to say about Joel Embiid. So yeah, don't be that person. Don't be the person that wishes failure because you're not doing well yourself. Try to do better yourself. Honestly, positivity, not to go all zen on you, R.I.P. Phil Jackson. I know he's not dead, but whatever. But positivity breeds positivity. You're positive. Positive things will happen to you. Life is a bunch of ups and downs. Doesn't matter if you have money or not. You know, you're going to come up. You're going to be up for a little bit. Something's going to try to knock you down. You're going to try to get back up. You got to keep it even. The balance. The balance and the force is important. I would wear a Big Baller Brand, but I'm poor, so I can't afford it. Every once in a while, something trickles down the timeline, which is a microcosm of social media as a whole. Now, sometimes these stories are just so wild and out of the way, you have to say, well, that's just not normal. But every once in a while, a story comes about where I sit back and I say, you know something, this is social media in a nutshell in 2017. And one of those stories happened this weekend. With I don't know her very well, so excuse me if I mispronounce her name. I think it's Feminista Jones. I've seen her pop up from time to time. You know how it is with these social media celebrities. They, you know, you see them pop up on your timeline from time to time. I don't know if she's ever said anything to me. I don't think so. So I don't know her personally. So this is not personal. This is just more using her situation as an example of why you need to be careful on social media. So to set the scene, from what I can gather from the tweets and what people were saying, Feminista Jones was a, or is a woman that is a, I guess, a feminist, I would imagine. Now, being a feminist in 2017 can mean a lot of different things. A lot of times people just say they're a feminist so they can, you know, yell at people. And that kind of seems to be her MO, and specifically black men. She seems to have an affiliation or she likes to talk a lot about black men being broke, that they're trash, ashy, aliens, I believe, or something or other. So she doesn't seem to have the best opinion of the black male species, which I happen to be a part of. But whatever, that's not unusual for both sides. There are a lot of women on social media that bash black men. There are a lot of black men on social media, unfortunately, that bash black women. It's not healthy either way. Because as black people, we deal with so much as it is, you would think that we wouldn't want to fight with each other, right? I always tell people, even though, you know, I try to put up the good fight, you know, for black people, for equality, to end racism, you know, to call out police brutality, still, to this day, I would say my biggest detractors are people that look like me, which is odd because I'm not saying that I'm like the greatest person in the world or I've never made mistakes or anything, but my goal has always been to help black people, so black journalists specifically. So I never got that. You know, I had to do what I had to do. Eventually, you just got to kind of let that stuff go and just, you know, keep doing your thing and everything will work out. So people don't really bother me as much as they used to, probably because it doesn't affect me as much as it used to. Whatever the case, that's how she made her following. Now, from that, I don't exactly know, you know, what she actually does. Like, I think she's been on maybe some TV shows and some radio shows and at some conferences, and I think got a book or something or another. So she's used this social media platform to be whoever she is right now, which is somebody that she wasn't before she started online or whatever. So fast forward to yesterday or the weekend, and she wants to go get a chicken sandwich from McDonald's or something or other. I don't know exactly what it is. Whatever, she parks in a illegal parking zone. Parks in an illegal parking zone, and probably the first person in like 20 years to actually go to McDonald's, park in an illegal parking zone, and actually get towed. Nobody likes to get their car towed, right? Like, back when I was getting repoed, like, that's not a good thing. Now, that's not exactly a tow, but it's still bad. And you wake up, your car's not there, and it's at a lot, or, you know, you park your car somewhere where you think it's safe, and next thing you know, it's, like, gone. I don't think it's happened to everybody, but it's happened to enough people that you understand that it's not cool getting your car towed. The crazy thing about getting your car towed is they charge you this asinine amount to get your car out of the lot. It varies from, you know, 100 to 500, just to kind of all depends. It costs you money though. So Feminista, to get her car out, costs $250, kind of split the difference right in the middle. Sucks, right? $250, hey, it's $250 that you would have had if you not parked in the illegal tow zone to get your McChicken. But yeah, it's messed up. I don't know what else to say. It's messed up. Now, I would say, or I would hope, this gathering, you don't have to be rich. You know, I mean, you can even be lower class. Most people, 9 times out of 10, I would say, have $250 in the bank. Most people would have $250 in the bank. Now, allegedly, it was a cash-only type of deal, which I can get that. And she couldn't get the cash out or whatever or something, or she didn't have it. I'm not exactly sure why she didn't have $250, but she didn't have it. Now, at this point, now this is where, like, real world and social media world, I try to tell people sometimes they collide at times, but then also they're separate. There are some things in the real world that you simply don't see in the social media world because there's a part of the social media world that's just fantasy, right? So you have the real world, you have the social media world. Now, this is a real world problem. Car towed, need $250. Now, logically, in the real world, if you have that type of problem, you can't get the money out, who's the first person that you would go to? Just think about it for a second. I'll give you some time. Right. First person you go to, if you have a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, significant other, that's who you would go to. If you're an adult, I would say. If you're a kid, obviously, you probably go to your parents. But if you're an adult, you go to your significant other. Hey, babe, got messed up, money all jacked up, took my car or whatever. I need $250 to get, you know, my car out of the tow lot. Can you help me out, sweetie? Can you help me out, baby? You know, we're together. We're in a relationship. It's all good. Right? That's real world. Say for whatever instance, you don't have a man, don't have a girl, you can't get a hold of them or whatever it be. Probably what? You go to your best friend. You know, everybody has like Square app and PayPal and all of this stuff now. Hey, bestie, in a little bit of a pickle, I can get you this money back on Friday. Need $250, car in the tow lot. I got some things I got to do. Need my car out right now. It's all cash. Could you Square whatever? Can you do this? Can you do that? So I can get the money and get it out of my account. That sounds about right, right? Okay. So let's say bestie is you know, in Aruba and is not getting good signal or whatever. But you probably go to your family then, you know, because especially as a woman, if your father's still alive or your mom's still alive, hopefully. I mean, they're still your parents. Hey, dad. Hey, mom. Little situation here. Got my car towed. Money not right until next week. Can you spot me $250 or can you come down and help me? Could you PayPal it to me? Can you Western Union it? Like, if you really need cash, like literally need cash, you know, there's Western Unions and what's the other one? I can't remember. You could do that almost immediately, any day, anytime, anywhere. I think that's how the commercial goes. Say for whatever reason, your parents are in Egypt and you can't get a hold of them, then you probably go down, you know, your list of maybe not your besties, but your actual, you know, friends. Hey, friend, in a bit of a pickle, I need a loan, I'll pay you back, all of this stuff. So that's real world, right? This is real world type of how you handle a situation. In your fake social media world, you bypass everyone. Your man, your family, your friends, your sugar daddy, the side dude, you pass everybody. And you go to complete random strangers to ask for money. Now, these are the same random strangers that you've called broke and ashy and aliens and talked bad about for years to help build your brand. You call people broke, but now you're begging for money. I did a dramatic pause there because in the immortal words of me, the math is not adding up. But see, that's social media for you. See, social media, and this is where we go into the fantasy world. Social media is about perception, right? It's about showing a lifestyle. It's about making yourself feel bigger than the people that are following you. And unfortunately, there are way more followers than the leaders that are being followed. So if you build up this persona, so to speak, at some point, your real life, if your real life doesn't match up with the persona and they try to collide, you find yourself in this pickle. So what do? You go to the persona life because they're the ones that think that you're the big baller brand. You don't go to your man, either A, because you don't really have one, because that's part of the fake persona, or your man's broke too, just like the guys that you've been talking about. Go to the timeline. Now, I want to say before I move on, along with this story, is that if strangers give you money, don't apologize for it. Just take it. I wouldn't take money from you guys because I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I got $250 if my car was to get towed. But if I did ask and you gave it to me, I wouldn't care if you were slandering me or not. Nobody forced you to give that money. Which leads me to the next point. After Miss Jones, I think it's Jones, gets her money and gets her car out, well, of course, she's getting destroyed on social media. You've built a persona up and your real life is not matching the persona. People are going to notice that. to not expect that to happen lets me know that you're not based in reality. So people start calling her out and making jokes and doing the things that social media does. It's not a surprise. And considering how hard, just from some of the tweets I saw, and I only saw a fraction, how hard she would go at other people. I can't say that I was surprised that she played the victim, but I was a little disappointed in her. Because as Bernard Hopkins told me once, anyways, we was talking about boxing. And he said the hardest thing about boxing is actually throwing a punch. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, when you throw any type of punch, you leave yourself open for a counter. And if you're not prepared to take that counter, then you'll never be a successful boxer because you'll be too scared to throw a punch and the other guy just be punching you in the face. So when people talk about Floyd Mayweather and they say he runs and watch the way Floyd fights. He's not running. He's punching you in the face and getting out the way of the counter. You got to be prepared for that. So you can't talk about people 24/7 on social media, call them broke, call them names, downplay men, downplay women. There was a bunch of women that don't like her either. You do all of this. Then at your reality, your time in need, and you want people to feel bad for you because of your McChicken, be all shocked when they're like, no, that's not going to fly. But that's social media in a nutshell. Social media is part fantasy world, part delusion. But it can also, because of that, take you to great heights with your persona. But somebody told me this a long time ago. I never forget it because it was back when I first got on social media, the Twitter and Instagram and all of this stuff. And I was feeding into the attention. But my real life necessarily wasn't matching the attention that I was getting on social media. Somebody sat me down and they told me as directly, and I remember it like it was yesterday. They said, Rob, if your real life is not better than your social media life, then something's wrong. And I really took that to heart. And I take it to heart now because in theory, I can sit at home all day, every day, 365, and be a legend on social media just by making posts and funny things or whatever. But then my life would just be on the couch all the time. What type of life is that? I could have stayed in St. Louis and probably made a lot more money and just sat on the couch and not did anything for years probably. But what's the point of having a little money if you're not living life? And this comes from somebody that didn't have money for a very long time. So you know, you have to make a choice. Obviously, you want to be financially responsible. I'm not, like, you know, making it rain at Mayweather Strip Club or anything. I'm just saying, when you become successful or start becoming successful, don't be happy with the attention that you're getting in a virtual realm. Go out and live life. And yeah, I know, like, I show a lot of what I'm doing on social media, but I don't show it all. Some of the good stuff you guys never, ever, ever, ever see. The stuff that I'm going to be in my rocking chair, you know, talking to somebody that probably don't want to listen to me. And I'd be like, yeah, that time in Vegas. Yeah, that time in Dallas. Oh, that time I was on the boat in Miami. And yeah, there are things that you're missing that's definitely not on Snapchat. Make sure it's lined up. Make sure whatever you're putting out there on social media lines up with the person that you are in real life. Those things are not equal, or they're not close to equal. Then you're going to have to be begging money to get your car towed, get your car out the tow lot, and hope your McChicken mayonnaise hasn't went bad. So before I get out of here, once again, I cannot thank you enough. These last couple of years have been some of the best years of my life, and the reason for that is because, you know, you guys, it's very humbling to hear from you via on social media, in person, at events, emails, DMs. The DMs are still open, ladies, just letting you know. That's my sexy voice. But whatever the case, if you've been hanging with me through all of these episodes, through the podcast, through the site, whatever, however you support me, I just want to let you know that it's appreciated, and I hope I do you proud with this daily live radio show. I don't say I get nervous, because the one thing that I do well, and it's probably the only talent that I have, is that I'm pretty good with my words, and I know how to talk. That's really, again, if you have a flat tire, I'm calling AAA. I'm not helping you. But so I'm not nervous, but I'm excited. I'm excited to have a daily platform to talk about the things that is not being talked about on ESPN. It's not being talked about on SI or Fox. It's the stuff that you guys are talking about. Even if it's the same stories, we're going to talk about it how you want to talk about it. And you know what I mean by that. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to act like things aren't happening. They've given me, amazingly, I don't know why, they probably were going to regret this, but they've given me free rein to talk about whatever I want to talk about. And what things I want to talk about are the things that you want to talk about. So we're going to keep rolling this thing out. We're going to keep striving. Can I do LeBron? We're going to keep striving for greatness. We're going to keep striving to change media. We're going to keep striving to let people know when injustices are happening, when things are happening that they're trying to turn a blind eye to. We're going to keep talking about that. 24/7, 365, day and night, from 2005 when I started to 2017 right now, the goal hasn't changed. A lot of things have changed in that time, especially my knee and back issues, but the goal of BSO has never changed. It's to bring a unique perspective on sports and sports and entertainment from a black perspective, because our voices and our faces and our words are not heard enough. But as long as I'm around, I'm going to make sure I take care of you. So, for the last time, give me my outro. Cost me like, hey, remember I told you it cost like a whole bunch of money? Nah, I got it off Fiverr. It only costs $5. I'm out.
You've been listening to the Drip Drop Hour with Robert Littell. You can follow Robert on Twitter at BSO and keep up with everything in the world of sports and entertainment by going to blacksportsonline.com. See you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Drip, drip, drip.